Hello, my name's Amy, and what you're about to listen to is my interview with Ellie and Clark, or LJ. We talk about the life of a DJ and what it's like stepping on the scene at such a young age. Hi, and welcome to the Voice Podcast. I'm here with Ellie, or LJ, and we're just going to talk a little bit about being a DJ. You're really, really young for a DJ.
I'm actually 21 in a couple of days.
I was going to say, you're younger than me, and you have had quite the impressive career already.
Thank you.
So how did you get into DJing? So I know you started really, really young.
Yeah, I started quite young. So basically what it was lucky enough, my mum used to run a club, quite local, and I started glass collecting and bought a set of decks, and from there just started to kept watching the other DJs play and practice what they was doing at home, and I went from there. I got my first set there. I think I was 14 or maybe 15 years of age, and the rest is history. Like, that's how I got into it, basically.
What was it like? Because, like, I can't imagine at 14 or 15 years old going into a club and doing my first set and, you know, killing it.
I was buzzing, really. I was nervous, but I took it, like, as at the end of the day, I just buzzed off it. I mean, like my friends and that, when I was at school and that, they didn't believe it and all sorts. And I enjoyed the buzz, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like 14, 15 is not legal drinking age, Elian.
No, it's not legal. I'd have to be on the decks and all sorts. I don't think I'm going to be in there, truth be told. Luckily, the club's closed now anyway, so.
I was going to say, what was it like at that age? Because obviously everyone around you is a little bit tipsy, and yeah, must have been such an alien environment.
Yeah, it opens your eyes to adult acts and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? I mean, a couple of times I was in there, and some of my teachers even came in there, and once they saw me in there, they're never coming in. They come in there again. It was crazy to see how people live their lives when they go out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy because, like, you see some people who you see day to day in there, like, who was friends with my mum's or friends with my dad's. And then you see them there in a different light after once they've had a drink. And it's crazy. It's like a different world.
Yeah. I know that you've just played Ibiza Rocks, and you said so on Facebook.
I just got back yesterday. I went out there. I finished playing, I think it was around 4 o'clock Saturday morning. And I come back. I did a bit of packing on Sunday. I ain't going to lie, I was hanging a little bit. And I went to court of flight then early hours Monday morning at Ibiza to play Ibiza Rocks. That was a bit, it was my first time playing there. It was a bit surreal, like, but it's one off the bucket list.
I don't envy you at all. Coming after a podcast of me.
it's at the end of the day, it's all right. It's nice to do something a bit different. I ain't never done anything like this.
So how was it playing Ibiza Rocks? I know you said on your Facebook that you snuck in at 17, so it's a bit surreal playing it.
Yeah, I remember I snuck in at 17 years of age. Luckily I knew some of the DJs that was playing, and I was able to get in with them. So then I snuck into Garage Nation, which was that party I snuck into, and then I had a booking off them. I was like, that's what blew my mind the most, because I was 17 years of age sneaking into one of their parties in Ibiza Rocks, and 3 years later on, I'm DJing for him, do you know what I mean? It was crazy. What an experience.
I mean, it must have been weird coming back and saying, like, hi, I'm here legally this time.
when I come about 17, I was DJing in Birmingham anyway, so I was a bit used to the stuff like that, do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's nice to have gone out, and now I can get my ID out and be like, yeah, I am old enough.
You have started Locked In Radio, which is fantastic. How did that come about? How did that start?
So again, it all stems from my mum's club. So it was a friend, a friend of mine now, but he weren't a friend before. And when I used to play in my mum's club, I used to live stream it on Facebook years and years ago. And he seen it. He was the original owner of Locked In. And he come and approached me. I was at the time I was working in my mum's cloakroom after my set. And he came and approached me. He basically said to me, he says, right, we've got Sundays free, 1 till 3. I've watched what you've done here. It'd be nice to have you on. And I was like, oh, wicked, great. And then I did a few shows. I've had a few special guests on, like some supplier, MC Coin, and all sorts of came over to my house. I've had views over 100k views in 2 hours and all sorts. And now we've decided we want to take it to the next level and take it properly legal and everything. So that's what we're doing now after lockdown.
Well, I was going to ask, what is the next step for Locked In? Where do you envision yourselves? Would you envision yourselves sort of proper?
Yeah, to be honest,
established. Yeah,
just online for now, and then we're going to throw some parties and that, and just try to put our name on the map now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the goal.
So, where is a dream gig for you, or have you already played it at this point?
My ultimate dream gig at the moment, like, what would be nice would be Amnesia in Ibiza. That would be the top one. But and then obviously then your next level then would be America, anywhere in America. But I'm happy at the moment. I'm doing quite well. Just gained another residency at Lab 11 for a brand called Noise. So it's I'm doing all right. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm just hoping that I can get that dream gig in the future. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, right. Amnesia's one on my bucket list, so maybe we can get there at the same time.
Hopefully, yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be nice.
So what is the process like of making one of your tracks? Is it like quite a calculated process, or is it just ideas come when they come and things happen?
It is the second one, like, so I could be sat at my computer and I could be sat there for hours upon end and just trying to lay something down and trying to force something out, and it doesn't come, and then I could be sat there, and I'll be sat there for half an hour, and I've got near enough a full track completed. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how it works. It's just a creative process. You listen to certain things and listen to, and you get inspired by stuff, and you just go off it from there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do anyway. I mean, other people have different approaches to stuff, but there ain't no right or no wrong answer. It's art, and at the end of the day.
Yeah. So what would you say is your kind of signature style?
Oh, was what to play. It's house music, it's bass driven, it's something that carries a lot of energy at the end of it. I mean, a lot of my set times and then I'm like 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. So when it's coming to that time and people have been out since, or like they could have been out all day on the Saturday. Mm-hmm. You've got to bring something with energy and hype load to the crowd. So it's like I like to try and play like bass-driven stuff to bring that energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bass-driven, fast tempo, and yeah, it's like a tech house type of style.
On that note, what is the kind of best crowd you've ever played for?
Is
that a hard question?
That's a difficult one, yeah. Because like that is quite a difficult one. So, I'd have to say, when I was 19 years of age, at the start of the year, I liked to set goals, and I played at one of my goals was to play at Lab 11, and I played in the November, and I opened the room 2, and I was a bit nervous because it was the first time I was playing there, and I was playing on like, it was like an old school bassline house type of genre of music I had to play, and I was nervous because the music that was being played 20 years ago. And not even beforehand, in some cases, some of the music that I had to play, and there was a lot of DJs on there that I've never played before, and they was a part in that era where I wasn't even born, so I was nervous, really, really bad. So I'd done a lot of homework for this set, and yeah, I ended up well off the back of the set that I played. I ended up becoming a resident for the brand, and then not only that, I also got a booking at Mint Warehouse in Leeds. But like the crowd, It was crazy, because like, it was I opened the room, my first 2-3 tunes, like there was nobody in there, and then by the end of the set, the place was even. I had people jumping around, whistling, like people on shoulders and all sorts. Like it was crazy, and that was at Lab 11.
That's mad.
It was again. It was probably that, or again, the opening weekend when it all opened back up after lockdown on the Friday as well at Lab 11 again, same room. It's always a vibe there.
Yeah, I know. When everything opened up, I could not wait to get out and just enjoy some music.
Nice, really, just to get it. The thing that I love the most is once I've finished playing, I enjoy going down afterwards and, like, say, for example, going to the smoking shelter, and I'm seeing people who I haven't seen in years because of COVID, or I've never met them, and having a conversation with them and seeing how they've got on and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I've missed the most, is conversing and meeting new people.
Yeah, I mean, you must meet all sorts of people. Like, I mean, going to Ibiza, you must meet some real characters.
Yeah, you meet some rock characters in IB, but some rock characters. Yeah, well, you meet them anywhere, but it's funny when you're abroad because like you, I could be talking to somebody like, say, for example, to say in the smoking shelter, and they could be from Manchester, and then I could speak to somebody else from Scotland. And you get on, and it's crazy how like, they're living their life with COVID. And you know, it's just nice to meet people of different walks of life.
Yeah.
Definitely.
In Ibiza, what would you say is like one of the absolutely craziest stories you've got?
I'm trying to think of ones that I can say probably on here. I'd have to say probably I went to... I finished playing IB for Rocks Bar when I was 17 at the time, and I had guest list then to go to a bowl at Amnesia. We went there, and it was I can't remember too much of it now looking back. All I remember is we went there, we stayed there till close, we got kicked out. There was me, my friend Sam Supplier from down London, was also with the DJ from Artful Dodger, and all I remember is we were standing on the car park, and do you remember Akon?
Yeah.
Was with Akon's manager. We weren't with him, was with Akon's manager. And somebody, I can't remember what the other guy looked after now, but was with him. And I remember like was just on the car park for ages talking for hours upon end. We were even watching like people come in, deliver stock to stock the club back up for tomorrow night. I think we was on the car park till about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, just talking. But I'm trying to I've had some crazy stories, I think that's it, the safest one I can go with to explain on here. But completely honest.
I mean, talking about Akon, being as young as you are, is there any kind of, I don't want to say stigma, but do people kind of judge you because you're so young? Do they think, oh,
he's probably... Oh, yeah, you get loads of people judge because of my age and all sorts, yeah, 100%. 100%. As I said, when I played at that event, going back to that one in November, I was told that certain DJs were saying, how is his name on the bill? It shouldn't be on there. He's too young. He weren't even alive in the era, never alone able to play it now with that. And it was crazy. And it hurts. At the end of the day, it hurts. But the other thing is, it's like, again, I use that as like fuel to say, right, yeah, no, I'm going to do it now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Try and make him take him back on the word.
Yeah, prove him wrong.
Yeah, that's at the end of the day, it is what it is. And I get a lot of it because of my age, a lot of it, but you take it in your stride, essentially.
What's it been like? Because I have to imagine that DJing at a club and DJing for kind of like in a radio capacity, that has to be quite... But is it a strange transition to make, or is it...
No, and it's strange playing on like a live stream or playing on a radio in comparison to actual clubs. Like, it's a tricky one. It's like in a club, you can look at people's faces and judge on the you know what I mean? They can judge on...
Yeah.
You can read their reaction, whereas... When you're in a room and it's just you on your own and you're playing on a radio, you don't know how many people you're playing to or anything like that. It's a bit weird, and it's like you don't know how to play, you don't know if they're enjoying it, or it's really tricky. I feel like you've just got to imagine that you're playing to people, because you aren't playing to people, but you've just got to imagine what they're doing. Like, you know what I mean? Luckily, nowadays, you've got stuff like you can text in and all sorts. So, but I couldn't imagine what it'd be like years ago when that weren't available. Crazy.
I was gonna say, it must be hard to imagine like people and how they're reacting to it, because at the end of the day,
it's really hard. It's hard to play as well. Like, I mean, I've played in clubs where there's been nobody even in there, and it's hard to play a set like that. And it's a similar type of thing. It is quite hard to play on a radio. It's because, as I said, you've got nobody there for it, like, you know what I mean? And especially when you're starting out fresh as well, because you've got to try and be like, I don't know how to explain it. You've just got to be on your toes and think what will go well if you was in a club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a tricky one.
So do you have any like go-to crowd pleasers for you need to get everyone jumping?
Every DJ I know has got a few of them, 100%. You've got to have a few of them in your bag just in case you potentially might be losing the crowd or anything like that, and you just drop one of them and you're like, okay, I'm coming back now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to, as a DJ, I've learned that you've got to have them. It's just like I've got a folder literally just for snipers. That's like what I'd call them. And it's just to get people back in the groove, like, do you know what I mean? Back to where they was.
Right, go on then. What's your one that never fails?
Oh, you put me on the spot now. I'm trying to think. A lot of the time, it's a classic tune. So I'm going to just use one, for example. Here we go. So Show Me Love, Robin S. But I won't play the original. There's that many different remixes out there. I'd use a remix. And it's a tune that somebody's always familiar with. If you like singing, you can sing along to it. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know the lyrics of the song, and it, them type of tunes always go well. A classic tune with a new sound with it, like,
yeah. That's kind of like what you're doing, isn't it? This fresh face on the DJ scene.
yeah. It's crazy. I never thought of it like that. That's crazy.
Well, where can D people normally find you if they want to listen to some of your amazing sets?
I'd say, well, Wolverhampton, I'm playing a lot at Wolverhampton. Birmingham, I'm playing a lot in. And I've got some stuff lined up down in London as well.
Yeah, I'm down by in.
Where are you?
Well, I'm from Wolverhampton, couldn't tell.
Yeah, I'm playing next Saturday. I'm at Grange Store in Wolverhampton with DJs Inc and Sammy Virgie. And then afterwards, I'm playing in Birmingham then as well then at a gay club in Sheik, called Sheik, sorry. It's all over, and then the week after again, then I'm back at Grindstore. We've got Artful Dodger and that there. That's a little thing I'm involved with, Artful Dodger and Joe Hunt. It's doing really well with Tom Zanetti at the end of the month for a Halloween thing, Luna Springs in Birmingham again. It's mainly Wolverhampton and Birmingham I'm at, but I've got the odd booking it outside of town. Next year I'm playing in February I'm playing in Dublin. Never been to Ireland in my life. That should be eventful.
What's it like traveling as a DJ?
It's all right. I mean, obviously going to Ibiza, that was the first flight I took post lockdown. That was I was a bit nervous really, because you have to make sure, like, you know, with your tests and your forms and all sorts, like, it's a bit stressful. Whereas beforehand, it's all right. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're nervous, and you're thinking about what you're going to play when you're traveling out. And then, I don't know if this is the same for the DJs, but by the time I'm coming back, I'm normally really, really hungover. So I normally just fall asleep straight on the plane and just sleep all the way back. But yeah, it's all right. I enjoy it. Again, I'm just grateful that I'm able to do stuff like this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just grateful that I'm able to travel like whilst I'm doing something that I love.
Yeah, that must be amazing. Oh, I could chat with you all afternoon, but I'm going to have to cut us there.
Yeah,
it's been fantastic talking to you, Elian. Thank you so much for talking to me. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk and find it on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as VoiceMagUK. The Voice contributors are also on Instagram over at voice.extra. If you are looking for another podcast to listen to, the contributors release the Voice Extra podcast every Saturday, where they talk about the pieces they've produced and the culture they've been enjoying. If you like this podcast, please consider helping us to make more with a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night. You can find more of his work in computech.com. Tom Innes was the executive producer.